guys. I'm back once again with the season two of the original Heart Chaser podcast. I want to thank you guys for tuning in once again to this podcast. And I hope you guys had a nice time on my break. Today I have with me Ian L. Haddock, to be exact. This guy, he has all kinds of accolades under his belt. When I grow up, I want to be just like him. Amen. but I'm going to let him introduce himself and go over some of it. He's an author. He's a speaker. He has done several documentaries also as well. He just actually got back from Atlanta, right? With one of his documentaries that he has done. He has his own organization as well that he's recently got funded with grants and stuff like that also. So he's really doing major things here in our LGBT community, especially in helping and lending a helping hand. So without further ado, I'm gonna let him introduce himself and give all his accolades and let you know where you can find him, etc.
Yeah, I'm excuse all that's going on. We're just running around here. But I'm super excited to be here on this podcast. It's one of my favorites. I listen to every single episode. It's one of the few podcasts that's not raunchy that I listen to. mine is a bit more raunchy, but as you said,
it's not raunchy, it's real. That's what it is, real.
As you said, my name is Ian L. Haddock. I'm the executive director of the Normal Anomaly Initiative, which is an initiative that looks to show that we're a lot more alike than different, because we believe that showing the human in humanity changes people. So that's what we're working on. We're working on two projects, which one is Dick in a Box podcast, which is a sex podcast focusing on all of the sexual boxes people place them in, breaking those things down.
It's not only about sex, y'all, though. They talk about some real stuff on there, especially with our LGBTQ community as well, and understanding all different aspects of it, because a lot of times we just in the gay realm, but you know, you have those other letters up in there also. Yeah. As well. They get into that also.
Yeah, well, because, you know, well, sex is multi-layered, right? Oh,
come on, Mom.
Yeah. Sex is multi-layered, it's multifaceted. Sex is intimate, so though we don't have, you and I never have penetrative sex, he is in a wonderful relationship, we are being intimate right now because we're sharing space, right? So this is a sex podcast in a way, right? So we have that, and we also have our docuseries, Outcry, which is still in the works, still working on it, still busy with that. And yeah, you can find me, Ian L. Haddock, on Facebook, my organization, The Normal Anomaly. You can find that, The Normal Anomaly, on all social media platforms. And Dick in the Box without the I, DCK, and the box. You can find that on all social media platforms just like that, too.
Awesome. Well, so we're going to jump right in without further ado. So as you guys know, my last season of my podcast, I did just different topics that I talked about myself on and my outlooks on it. I posted different like polls and stuff on social media and got responses from that and used those responses also as well to answer questions and go through like everybody's different type of experiences on certain subjects on the first season of my podcast. This season of my podcast, I'm going to be focusing more on people who have, in a sense, well, as you guys know, at the end of every one of my podcast episodes, I always say, build your own happiness, build your own relationships, build your own life. And so this season, I'm going to be speaking to people who have done just that. They've built their own happiness, they've built their own relationships, and they've built their own life as well. The Bible says that we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes all it takes for us to make it is to know that somebody else has made it. And so that's what this season of this podcast will be about, bringing in people that have made it and that is going to be, that, you know, that I just want to share their stories with you so that you can have that hope and that push or that oomph that you need to get over the next hill or mountain in your life to be able to know that there is, the grass is greener on the other side. So without further ado, we're going to jump right into these questions as well. So the first question that I have for you, Ian, is when did you realize that you were not happy with your life? And what did you do to start building your own happiness?
So that's a hard question because I believe that happiness is fleeting. It is ever moving. You are constantly creating happiness, and there will constantly be moments of anger and discontentment. But in that, I think where the question pulls me is sitting in a space where my talents were no longer being cultivated. And when I say that, I don't say that from a victim mindset. It wasn't being cultivated by the people I was around, nor was it being cultivated by me. And I just made a decision. I wanted something different. I don't have an educational background around like writing or speaking or anything like that. All I had was the experience that I had. And so at one point I just decided I'm going to learn how to build a website. And I'm going to start a blog. And I began to write, and it didn't go anywhere for like a year and a half. And then all of a sudden, boom, right? One article was about Usher. I never forget. And it kind of like went boom. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm invited to the parties. I can go to the places. That was just kind of like the very beginning. But to answer that, like in specifics, to answer that, like, it's just the decision to do something different. You know, one of my co-hosts, she always says, hashtag do something different. At some point, I just decided that what I was doing wasn't good enough. And that I was going to sacrifice to find the type of happiness that I desire.
Gotcha. And the hashtag do something different, that's by Miss Demetra. Shout out to you, because we be talking in each other and back to us as well. So she be helping me out with some other stuff that I have going on also. So at what point did you feel like, at any point did you feel like that you were placing the responsibility of your happiness on someone else?
It's always easy to be the victim. You know, we sit under multiple levels of oppression. The system, the society tells us that we are supposed to play victim and that we are waiting on something, someone, some being to come down, grant us our wish of freedom and liberation. And the truth of the matter is, every day you have to work towards it yourself. And if it was easy, then everybody would have it. So I don't know that I ever singularly put it on one person or another person. It's always been in conjunction with me, but at some point, I was waiting. I was waiting on my time. I was waiting. I remember sitting in a panel discussion at TSU. My former boss, Mike Webb, who's probably going to be the one of the grand marshals for Pride, the non-binary. He was my boss at the time, and in my opinion, excuse me, they go by they. They were, to me, not as qualified to be in management. Mike was super smart, super calculated, perfect strategist, super intentional about the way he worked, but they were not me in my mind, right? Like you just aren't me.
Right.
And when Mike got the position, everybody came to me and was like, what the hell? How the hell did he get that position over you? Like, you know, it was just a shoe-in for you. And I held a lot of resentment. And I remember going to TSU, and he had bought down this big speaker from the National Black Justice Coalition. She was the executive director at the time. And it was like this huge thing. And we were at TSU, and we were sitting at TSU, and I was sitting in the audience, and he was doing his thing. Mike was doing his thing. And I remember leaving there and calling my aunt, who was my maternal figure, and I called her, and I was just crying. I was just like, why didn't I see how good he was? Mm-hmm. Like, why didn't I see how good he was? And she was like, but you're good too. You know you deserve the greatest. And I was just like, I didn't see how good he was, and I don't know if I could ever do that. Mm-hmm. So I was really depressed over something so small. And the next morning, I went to Mike and I said, Mike, I apologize for not thinking that you deserved mm-hmm. what you have. Mm-hmm. Because it was selfish on my part, because mm-hmm. I thought I should have what you have. Mm-hmm. But I should have something different. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I can ever find it. Mm-hmm. And Mike said, so like, what brought this on? So I told him what I just told you guys. And he said, so your issue was you don't know if you could have spoke up or ran the program. And I said, yeah, like everybody was speaking and they were talking all academic and they were doing all this good work and they had this panel, but I don't know like where I fit in. And he said, you didn't fit in because you didn't speak up. You didn't go to the mic. There was a time for you to go up there and state your opinion. And so at that point it was like, hold on. It's about finding your voice. Mm-hmm. It's about speaking into your mind. Mm-hmm. It's about sitting in your position. Mm-hmm. And so since then, I haven't got it all right, but I've gotten it all right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel that. I like that. Yeah. And that's one of the things that draws me to you, is because although like I've seen both sides of, well, you're a multifaceted person. So I've seen particularly just two sides of you. I've seen your quote unquote, what they call professional side. Mm-hmm. And I've seen your realness side. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen it. And I just love the way that you, no matter what audience you're speaking to, you can come down to them and meet them where they are. Mm-hmm. And you don't necessarily, me sitting next to you, although you have all these accolades, you don't make anybody else feel like they're less than.
Cause I ain't shit.
That really draws me to you, because you meet everybody where they are, you relate to everybody, you're not afraid to share your experiences, and you're just unapologetically as it is, and all the experience that brought you to where you are now. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that. Just a little side note.
Yeah, thank you for that.
But so the next question, and this is maybe the question that a lot of people have been waiting for, because he said that he was going, well, it may be this one or the last one, so I don't know which one he's going to release it on. Mm-hmm. But so this one is, how do you feel about relationships? And what is a trend that you see in relationships that you wish that, like, if you had a magic wand, you would change that?
So I think relationships are beautiful. I am loving how millennials and those after us are coming into this space. Like, we're going to create the type of relationships we want. Mm-hmm. I am not, asking to be in this heteronormative, mm-hmm. monogamous relationship, mm-hmm. unless that's what I choose to be.
Right, right.
I think it's dope. A trend I would change, mm-hmm. Is there's this belief that if a person is doing the minimum, what I consider as the minimum, mm-hmm. That they're good for a relationship. So many times, even in my dating situations and what may be wrong with my friends, they'd be like, well, he has a good job and he's well educated and, he has a car and a place and, he's working really hard, but he doesn't communicate well. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that he won't make a good partner, but what you just described to me is what he should have, mm-hmm. at 30 years old.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like at 30 years old, I'm probably more interested if you say, oh, he's following his dreams and so he's did this to sacrifice, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Versus you telling me, oh, he has a good job. Well, he should.
Right, right.
He should. But so many people, and I don't know, I guess we think that the pool is not deep enough or something mm-hmm. like that, and the fish don't swim upstream or something. But there's this feeling of hopelessness around mm-hmm. dating, and I'm gonna date mm-hmm. the first person that meets my minimum checkpoints. Mm-hmm. I am looking for something that's gonna wow me, mm-hmm. you know, in 2019. I'm looking for something that's going to make me feel mm-hmm. love. Mm-hmm. Not feel love, duh, mm-hmm. but feel love. Mm-hmm. I wanna feel a spark,
right?
You know?
Right.
And so if I could change the trend, it's just like so many people in relationships, and it's like, this don't, like, you know this don't make sense. Mm-hmm. This don't even make no sense. And I'm not here to try to like rationalize who should be in what, but mm-hmm. you know this don't make sense.
I feel you on that. So when you say the minimum, like you're talking about like just those like little checkpoints, okay, they got a car. Okay, yeah. They got a job, okay, they got this and that, whatever. And I told
you, oh, he don't beat me. Well, he's not supposed to beat you.
Right. I feel that. Okay, so I definitely agree with that also as well. And I love what you said when you, like, you're more concerned, like, if somebody's, like, pursuing their dreams yeah. and stuff. Because, and I find just in my life, for example, I wasted so, well, I'm not going to say wasted because you live and you learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. You live and you learn. But I felt like if I, you know, and my mama always said this, if you're gonna always wish you can go back, or I always heard my grandmother say, if you know then, what you know now,
yeah.
you know, so, and that's one of those situations, that's how I feel just about my life in general. If I knew then, or if I knew then what I know now, I would have started working on a lot of this stuff that I'm doing, like, way back when. And
you weren't supposed to know.
And yeah, and that could definitely be true.
Yeah. When I think about kind of like putting a relationship and like my career or whatever it may be, like side by side. And I was talking to my nephew, one of my mentees, and I was telling him, he was telling me like, I'm talking to this guy and I really love him, and we have exchanged that we love each other, but we've not been in a relationship, and he's a good guy for me and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, what are you waiting on? Just like ask him to be with you.
Right.
And he was like, no, because I mean, I might get hurt, and you know, what if I don't find out all the information until mm-hmm. I'm even more in mm-hmm. love with him. And I said, this is the thing. If your end goal is to be in a great relationship or mm-hmm. to be married or mm-hmm. to have a house, whatever your end goal, if your end goal is to have a nursing degree mm-hmm. or to be a superstar, mm-hmm. whatever you have to go through to get there,
right.
is what you have to go through to
right.
get there,
right?
If we are really serious about our dreams, whatever mm-hmm. that dream looks like, mm-hmm. if you're really serious about it, then you're going to say that I am willing to sacrifice, mm-hmm. I'm willing to be obedient to the cause, mm-hmm. and whatever comes, if God is on my side and God has predestined for me to be in this space, mm-hmm. I'm going to be willing to deal with whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And so you wouldn't have all that you have if you already knew.
That's true. That's true. I get that. And what I always say also as well, like, especially when it comes to relationships, anytime that you're coming into a relationship or thinking about getting into a relationship with somebody, there's always that risk factor.
Mm-hmm.
That risk factor will always be there. And that's when you're chasing your dreams or whatever the case may be mm-hmm. as well. There's always going to be a risk factor. So if you're waiting to make the jump, thinking about what if, and my teacher told me, like when I was in high school, you can go with what ifs all day long.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going to be in that same place. You're going to find yourself a year from now in that same place because you're mm-hmm. thinking, what if, and you're not willing to make the jump or take the risk, so to say, to get to wherever it is that you want to
be. And nothing is promised.
And you can
take that in a negative way and say, like, oh, nothing is promised, so I may never have him.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can say, nothing is promised, so it won't be that bad mm-hmm. if he breaks my heart.
Right.
Or it won't be that bad when we last forever. Because mm-hmm. the truth of the matter is, after that love feeling is all gone, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and actual work happens, mm-hmm. things will change anyway.
Anyway, right. And it's scientifically proven that it takes at least 6 months to a year to get over what they call the infatuation phase. Mm-hmm. So that's when, after you get over the puppy love, mm-hmm. like now it's like where the work come in at. So, mm-hmm. for example, somebody may leave the top off the toothpaste. Mm-hmm. They've been doing that the whole 6 months to a year, but now that you're over that infatuation phase, now you're starting to notice other things that you probably didn't really pay attention, didn't care to look at first. So like, I hate it when you leave the toothpaste off, mm-hmm. but you've been, they looking like, well, I've always done this. Yeah. Like, nothing about me has changed.
I call it the honeymoon phase. But the unfortunate part is, that's another thing, if I could just like wave my magic wand. Mm-hmm. If you get into, because this is my experience, this is a personal thing for me that I am currently working on. Mm-hmm. If I'm not getting to experience that honeymoon or that infatuation phase, mm-hmm. I'm not supposed to be with him.
That's true.
Right? Mm-hmm. Every time I've gotten to these relationships is because of these complex issues and these projects, right? Mm,
okay.
These projects that, and by the way, when I say projects, normally when people hear projects, mm-hmm. they think a person with like no bare minimum. Mm-hmm. No, you can be a project and have all of the bare minimums, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know how to communicate, you don't know how to be in a relationship, like you don't want to build, you know, your idea of dating is still, I'm 17, 18, or just out of college, and mm-hmm. I'm 31. So 31 is not old, but it's not young. At this point, if I'm dating, I'm not dating to be a boyfriend.
Right. I have an end goal.
Yeah, I have an end goal. And so, so many times I've gotten into relationships because the person is so complex, and I can't figure them out, and that's a turn on, and mm-hmm. I'm trying to crack the puzzle. And at the end of it, instead of me cracking the puzzle, what I end up saying is I'm tired of working this puzzle.
Right.
I'm tired of working through this. Mm-hmm. Everything becomes like I'm working through this. Mm-hmm. We're figuring this out. Mm-hmm. Don't do this. Why are you doing this? And before I know it, it's like I'm just compromising to all kind of twists and turns and nods, and I don't even know who the hell I am.
Right.
In my own relationship.
That's really good. I like that. Okay. Well, that was really good. I like that one. That mm-hmm. was really. Basically, a lot of times in the relationship, you compromise so much that you just lose yourself mm-hmm. and lose what you want to do and what your heart's desire. You stop pursuing the desires of your heart and start trying to pursue the please somebody else in a sense. So that's really good. Okay, so on to the next question. Did you ever think that you would be at this place that you are in your life? Mm-hmm. And if so, or if not, why did you think that?
Mm. I don't, you know, and I don't say this because a lot of people either think I'm cocky or too humble, mm-hmm. but I really don't know what place it is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I am just journeying. There are moments when I put stuff into the universe and I talk to God about, like, a flaw or something that I really desire, and then it's just set into my lap. And then there are other times when I'm just walking and an experience says, do something about that. For instance, on either side, 2 years ago, one of my colleagues, who's like a giant in the work that I do, got this award at this national conference. And I'm just like, I remember talking to God, just like saying like, wow, like what can I do mm-hmm. to ever be able to get to that level? Not to get the award, mm-hmm. but to get the level mm-hmm. that my colleague was. Like Deshaun, his name is Deshaun Usher. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Deshaun. He's just amazing. Mm-hmm. He's just amazing, and he encompasses so many things and just cultivates so many people, and he's a trailblazer. Mm-hmm. And I remember just thinking like, what does that take to be that, to get that level of national recognition? Mm-hmm. And This year I was invited to that conference and I got that award, right? And the same thing that Deshaun told me then is what I kind of feel now, right? But I don't know that I was doing the work. I was just doing the work, right? Like, I don't know what I did, right? Even saying it now, I don't even know what I did to deserve it. It's just, I'm out here working. And then the other moments where it's like, I'm on the phone and I just say, something pops in my head and I say, I want to do it. Like, that's probably what I want to say. This place. There's like this, this thought that everything has to be like a logic model and everything has to be super intentional and strategic and placed in the right space in order for you to be like quote unquote successful, quote unquote an influencer. And the truth of the matter is sometimes you just gotta go with your gut. There have been many, from Outcry to Dick in the Box to Normal Anomaly itself, from wanting Impulse Group to be, you know, to be on the board of Impulse Group. A lot of this stuff was just, I had a feeling. I was on the phone with my aunt one morning. She was telling me what my other aunt was saying about her supporting me and my me being a gay man and me, you know, writing these erotic books and all this kind of stuff. And I was just like, I wish you would get out my damn bedroom. That was my response. And then I said, hold on, that might be a dope article. So I wrote an article and then I said, hold on. I want to do photos. This photographer randomly hits me up, was like, I love what you do. I want to do some photos with a thick guy. I'm like, oh, I want to do a photo shoot for this. So then we get photos. So then I submit it to some places. Before you know it, now I'm the LGBTQ editor of this magazine, right? But it didn't happen because I was trying to be the LGBT editor. I just went with my feeling. So many times, like when you're creative or when you want to do something, like you're just waiting on the moment. There is no moment. You do it when you feel it. You just go.
That's really good. Now that you're in, well, like you said, you're journeying. So now that you are journeying and it's not really about a place that you're in, what have you learned as far as like going along the journey that now that, because I mean, although you don't necessarily say that you're in a place, you are at a particular place in life. What have you learned just journeying along that has, I guess, in a sense, got you here, and that you feel like will take you?
I was thinking about these questions earlier, and I ended up just, sometimes I just throw up on Facebook and I just say whatever I'm thinking. But I actually wrote on Facebook, opportunities can't knock until you create a door, right? That is probably the biggest lesson because like, I see so many people out there just like waiting, like just waiting. And the truth of the matter is, no one cares what your skills are. No one cares what your talents are. You are the next little Negro, little punk, little sissy that got some talents, that got some skills. People care about your story. They care about your narrative, they care about your character, they care about your drive, they care about your ambition. That's what people are connected to. I told my aunt I was doing Dick in a Box podcast. She said, Ian, you're going in a trajectory that is no longer okay. And I said, no, I just feel connected to Dick in a Box podcast. She said, why? I said, I can't tell you why. I told you I just go with my feelings. I'm going with my feeling. I feel Dick in a Box podcast. She said, I think this is gonna bite you in the ass, Ian. And I said, and when it does, it'll be okay, right? And I did Dick in the Box podcast. And we may or may not be changing the name in the next 5 or 6 months, right? But I got on the phone with a university recently, and I was calling to talk about the docuseries because I wanted to, at that point, keep the name Dick in the Box quiet because mm-hmm. I'm on the phone with the university mm-hmm. in a different city, in a different state. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to talk to them about what I want to do with the docuseries. And mm-hmm. it was like, but why didn't you tell us anything about the podcast? Mm-hmm. We love it. We've been cracking up the whole day watching it. It's so innovative. Mm-hmm. It's so powerful. Mm-hmm. We think that for this conference in December, mm-hmm. it will be dope if y'all did blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Now, wow, right? Mm-hmm. So the thing is, I think we miss out on...
So was it the name that made you want to keep quiet on it, or just
the name? The name. Mm-hmm. But the point in saying it is, it didn't matter mm-hmm. that it wasn't perfect. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What mattered is I created a door,
right,
for an opportunity,
right?
Like I actually created a door mm-hmm. when I got laid off the last job. I'm about to be laid off at the end of this week, and when I got laid off of my last job, I told you that one of the things that I wanted to do was write. So I created a blog and mm-hmm. I had to create the website. Mm-hmm. People saw the website, they thought it was pretty decent. They said, how much would you charge to create my website? Mm-hmm. Right? So for the first couple months I was laid off, mm-hmm. I began to build websites, right? Because I created a door for opportunity. So mm-hmm. I think that people are like waiting on, you know, faith that thought works is dead.
That's true.
You know, true. It's dead. You gotta go. You gotta do it. You gotta find your feeling. You gotta mm-hmm. find your sensor. I thought I was moving. I decided. Well, no, I didn't decide. I had, for once, was doing so well. Making really good money, had a really nice apartment by myself, held it down, fully furnished it, and I said, wow, so you got your credit together, you got a fully furnished apartment, you've been paying your bills on time for once in, you didn't kind of begin to break the generational curse, and you should live how you want to live now because you're already paying this amount. Mm-hmm. So I began to go look at high-rise apartments. Mm-hmm. And I'm super, super excited. And then out the blue, literally somebody I hadn't talked to in 5 or 6 months hit me up on Instagram and said, hey, you know anybody want to rent a room? Mm-hmm. Spirit said, go. Mm-hmm. I'm like, nah, mm-hmm. I don't want to rent no doggone room. Mm-hmm. I make too much money. Mm-hmm. I got all these gigs, all these things going for me. I'm doing all this work. People ain't gonna have no space to come do the work with me. Mm-hmm. How it's gonna look me rent a room and I'm trying to like build this empire, right? Spirit said, go look at the room. Mm-hmm. I came over here, and I hadn't even met the owner. Mm-hmm. I came over here and I was just like, this is it. Mm-hmm. Told me what the breakdown was gonna be, how it looked. I'm like, wow, you're gonna save some money. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'll get a house. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll get a house after a couple months. Mm-hmm. Didn't know I was gonna be laid off. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm literally going to be in a better position mm-hmm. than I was, you know.
Than you would have been if you would have.
Yeah.
Went and looked at the high rise and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but you gotta go with the feeling, you gotta mm-hmm. find your center, mm-hmm. and you gotta create the door for opportunity to knock.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I definitely agree with that because I was actually one of those people, the waiters, mm-hmm. waiting for somebody to mm-hmm. give me the opportunity. Because I know I'm talented. I know I have the stuff to do it.
Yeah.
I have the ability to do it. And back in my back home, I knew all the right people to get it done. But I was just waiting. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I would say that I probably didn't wait on, I used to do mime dance for like different churches and stuff a long time ago. And that was like one of the only things that I could say that I really didn't wait for anybody on. I started it myself and it ended up being, I think I danced for like 5 years, 5 or 6 years, probably up until like a year before I moved out here to Houston. I like kind of cut down. I wasn't dancing as much. But even when I moved out here, I danced like maybe 4 or 5 times when I was out here when I first moved. But that was like the only, and because I didn't wait with that, it was me and two other people. I started it, but I took in two other people and we literally danced. And I'm originally from Louisiana, for those who don't know, but we literally danced all over Louisiana. We went to Pennsylvania and danced. We went to New Jersey and danced. We went to Florida. We went to Atlanta. We came to Houston. Like, we literally went everywhere. And those are like trips, like all expense paid trips or whatever. But that was like, that's, and when I look back, that's the only thing that I can look at and just really say that I didn't wait on anybody. I started it myself. I did it. And when I actually look back on that, where I am now, that's what got me in a point of like, okay, so I'm waiting on somebody to give me this opportunity, to invite me here, to invite me there. I'm in a new city. I don't really know a lot of people. Most of the people that I do know are people from back home that has moved to Houston. So, you know, what am I gonna do now? So the only option that I really had was to create my own lane, basically. And so that's where I am now, you know, doing the podcast. I'm starting to do photography also as well. And my story is yet being, well, all of our stories are yet being written, but as of right now, you know, I'm just going through a place right now to where I'm really having to trust and depend on myself and my significant other. It helps me out also as well. But I really get that creating the door for opportunity to knock on. I really do like that. Really, that's something that I would take with me forever. So I definitely appreciate that.
Your gift will make room.
Yes.
Right? But you gotta wrap it.
Yeah. I feel that.
You know what I'm saying? Like
you have to present it.
You gotta present it.
Yes, you have to present
it. Yeah, you gotta present the gift for it to actually make room.
That's true. I feel that. Well, we're about to wrap things up here. I just want to first say thank you to Ian for taking time out. Ian just got back from Atlanta, y'all, like about a day or so ago. And then since he's gotten back, he's still moving and flowing and going here and there. And so I really appreciate you taking time out to sit with me and do this interview. This is my first time doing, this is actually, I want to say my first time doing like this type of interview. I've never done an interview before. So if I was like kind of nervous, I apologize, y'all, but it'll get better. But I just want to say I appreciate you, and you know, I support everything that you're doing. Anytime that you need anything from me, if I have it, you're more than welcome to it and to be able to move forward. So in closing, this is going to be how I'm going to end all of my shows in this new season. So the final question for Ian will be, are you ready for love?
Why are you hiding for me? am I ready for love? So I am just getting out of an almost 4-year relationship. Mm-hmm. We broke up probably... Cheryl, we stopped talking about 2 months ago.
So 2 months is kind of fresh though. So yeah. that don't necessarily mean over. Yeah.
No, no, that's what I'm saying. No, it's over.
It's over.
We've had it's a really interesting situation because our relationship wasn't toxic in the way that people consider toxic, like fighting and arguing, but because we did none of that, it was toxic, right? Like it was a situation where it is normal for us to go weeks without talking and to pop back up and just like continue. No conversation, no, you know, what happened, you know, nothing like that. We just pop back up. And a lot of it's me, because at some point I just check out and I don't really have the energy in the space that I'm in to just argue. And a lot of it is also him. That's how he deals with life. You know, he blows up, he retreats, he pops back up, and everything is great. Not the type of relationship I want to be in.
Right.
So it's done. D-O-N-E.
That sounds done.
It's done for me. Though I'm sure in the future, you know, we'll probably be cool. Mm-hmm. Cause he's an amazing guy. Mm-hmm. Just doesn't work out the relationship. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So am I ready for love currently? Probably not. Mm-hmm. I mean, 4 years in my life, right? But I am open to it. I'm in a really good place. Mm-hmm. I'm in a really good place. I think we both knew it was coming. We didn't have sex for the last like 10 months mm-hmm. of the relationship. Mm-hmm. I was super busy the last year of the relationship. Mm-hmm. He's a homebody, mm-hmm. doesn't really like crowds and people. And so since I spent most of my last year in front of people, mm-hmm. I spent very little time with him. So we don't know what all that background is, mm-hmm. but it is what it is. So I'm interested. I am searching, mm-hmm. you know. I am spending a lot of time masturbating mm-hmm. because now I can think of all kind of crazy things. Mm-hmm. I'm spending a lot of time. I went on a couple dates, mm-hmm. actually. I've also went on some dates with myself. Mm-hmm.
It's important to date yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm really like appreciating the journey. This is the other thing. Because people feel like I'm in a place, I am garnering a lot of attention from people that I probably will never be interested in. Mm-hmm.
Somebody has to know how to deal with that.
Yeah. Because it's like either they want it because mm-hmm. they want whatever quote unquote spotlight I have, mm-hmm. or they want it, but I have to change. It was a big issue in my last relationship. It mm-hmm. was always like, when you go, why you do? And it's mm-hmm. just like,
okay.
I'm not ready for that. So, yeah, it'll take a special person to deal with me. Mm-hmm. It'll definitely, you know.
Do you think your next relationship would have to be an extrovert person also as well?
Well, I'm not an extrovert in real life.
Okay.
In real life, I'm not an extrovert. I do this work. I feel like it's my calling, so I turn on when I have to turn mm-hmm. on.
I remember you saying that on a podcast.
Yeah.
I remember you saying that.
I'm really very much an introvert, mm-hmm. but I think that I will have to date an extrovert, right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I will have to date an extrovert, and I will have to date a person that understands that though in the beginning I'm going to be super aggressive in terms of like, I like dating, mm-hmm. I love dating. Mm-hmm. I love going to places, doing stuff. Mm-hmm. I love sex. Mm-hmm. But then at some point,
once that infatuation phase is
goes up. Away, mm-hmm. sex isn't a priority to me. Mm-hmm. And dating outside of like for me, though I'm an introvert, I would get excited if my man said, hey, we're going to this awards gala. Mm-hmm. I would get excited. Mm-hmm. Me and I date, they don't get excited about that. Mm-hmm. They want to go to the movies. I don't want to go to the movies. Mm-hmm. So then I end up always going to the movies and I always look single mm-hmm. in the public. Mm-hmm. I want a relationship. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to go places and do things. And, mm-hmm. Because I don't have a fear of failure. Mm-hmm. I don't have a fear of failure. So if mm-hmm. the relationship ends and I got a bunch of pictures of you on my Instagram and Facebook, mm-hmm. that was a nice part of my journey because right. I'm still going towards my Prince Charming.
Right, right.
I don't care.
Right.
So, but I haven't had a relationship like that before.
Gotcha.
That's what I want.
Well, you've heard it here first on the Original High Chasers podcast. And again, I just want to say thank you so much for sharing your story with us and your love life also as well. I didn't know. But, and I really appreciate it. Is there anything else? Make sure you subscribe to Dick in the Box podcast. Yes. It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. It is the Dick in the Box podcast is one of the most entertaining podcasts that I listen to. And I get my laugh in. I get informed on there also as well. And it is a shout out to Kimmy Doll, mm-hmm. And Corel as well, which are the two co-hosts for Dick in the Box podcast. And Danita, she's a part of the podcast host is also as well. So, and you guys are going to be at Pride.
Next Saturday,
they're gonna be at Privy also as well, which is Nisha,
Nisha, right? The Diva.
Yes, Nisha the Diva. So, check them out. Subscribe to the podcast. Follow him on Instagram and he gave. If you don't remember what his handles are, it was at the beginning of the video, at the beginning of the audio. So rewind, check it out, and go and follow him, you guys. Once again, thank you guys for listening in and tuning in and subscribing to the YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel also. Please subscribe, rate, and to the podcast also as well. Subscribe, rate. I don't want to forget saying that. Other than that, that's all that I have. Remember, you guys, it's important that you build your own happiness, build your own relationships, build your own life. Peace.